Welcome to Behind the Ticker. I'm Brad Roth, Chief Investment Officer of Thor Financial Technologies and Portfolio Manager of THLV, the Thor Low Volatility ETF. Behind the Ticker uncovers the inner workings of the ETF industry. We will interview portfolio managers and ETF service providers to dive deep into their work lives and their businesses. We will learn the inner workings of their strategies and what drives them as they continue to grow their company. Many of these individuals are entrepreneurs and will have unique and compelling insights to share as much goes on behind the ticker. Please note, nothing in this show is investment advice, and it is meant solely for educational and entertainment purposes only. Welcome to Behind the Ticker. Today I have on Kim Mayer. He is a portfolio strategist over at GMO, and we're here to talk about their newly released quality ETF, ticker QLTY. It is a U.S.-focused, active ETF that's looking for, obviously, quality as well as attractive valuations. They've been running a similar strategy for many years in a mutual fund wrapper, and this is their first ETF over at GMO. We talk about the difference between quality and other quality ETFs that are more index focused. I think you'll find the security selection process and the makeup of this ETF rather interesting. So without further ado, please welcome Mr. Kim Mayer. Hey, Kim, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Brad. Good to be here.
So before we get started, would you do everybody the pleasure of kind of giving your background, who you are, and your current role over at GMO?
Yeah, so I've been rattling around the finance industry for a long time. I spent the first half of my professional life on the sell side at Morgan Stanley, doing a bunch of stuff. I started out in investment banking, ended up in capital markets, and then made this shift over to the buy side about, well, back in 2006, so about 18 years ago now. So I've been at GMO for quite a while. My first responsibilities at GMO were on the client side. And then about 15 years ago or so, I jumped over to one of our equity teams. And I work on the focused equity team now at GMO. That's the team that manages the QLTY ETF. It's the team that manages our quality strategies. And it's a pretty small team. We all tend to wear more than one hat on the team. So my two hats that I wear, number one, I am a portfolio strategist. That involves primarily communication, advocacy, that type of thing, what I'm doing now. But I also cover some stocks in the portfolio. I guess you would say my area of expertise, generally speaking, is frivolity. I cover beer and spirits. I cover luxury goods. I cover TJX, and I cover catering. So yeah, that's what they figured out I'm good at.
Well, that's great. I can relate to wearing multiple hats with trying to sell and, you know, do some portfolio strategy work as well. But so I always like to ask everybody this question before we get too deep into the mechanics of the portfolio is what do you like to do outside of work? Any hobbies when you're not sitting behind the desk?
Yeah, I would say so. GMO is based up in Boston, so we're in New England. I moved up here from New York about 20 years ago. So we're lucky to be in a good spot to be on the water. So I love to spend time on the water with my family, frozen water in the winter. So skiing. And then, you know, sailing, doing whatever we can in the summer. My kids are getting a little bit more far flung, but we're able to lure them back for fun activities. So that's probably my favorite activity.
Yeah. It's funny. We've done probably 35, 40 of these episodes now, and you're the first person, or I'm sorry, the fourth or fifth person that's really into boating. I mean, there must be something with ETFs and boating.
We'll have to dig into that.
Yeah. So, you know, can you just talk about GMO as a whole? You guys do a lot of things. So, you know, what all does GMO do kind of at a high level to help clients and how are you serving clients?
Yeah. So GMO, you know, we're not the biggest shop in the world. You know, I think what we're well known for is a very thoughtful approach to investing in public securities. So we have a pretty good equities business. We have a pretty good fixed income business. And we have a pretty good asset allocation business as well. That's one thing, you know, a lot of folks in the wealth channel do know us for. Jeremy Grantham founded the business about 45 years ago. A lot of people do know Jeremy. They know him as a value manager, and certainly valuation is an important part of our heritage. So I would say we're long-term investors, we're valuation oriented, we're really focused on our clients. In the early days, our clients were all institutional, but we've sort of gotten a little wiser over the years and have been able to broaden out our availability to a wider range of client types. I'd say that's been an important part of our growth over the course of the last 7 or 8 years.
Yeah. So you guys recently, you know, fairly recently, 2023, got into the ETF business, right, with the launch of Quality, which we're going to talk about in depth. What kind of made GMO make that jump from, you know, its core business to sticking its head into the Thunderdome of ETFs?
Yeah, it can feel like a Thunderdome sometimes. I think, you know, we certainly are not pioneers in the ETF landscape. It's, you know, we've been looking at it from afar for quite some time. We wanted to choose the right time to get involved. We don't try to, you know, we certainly aren't the type of investment shop that tries to flood the market. We want to come in with the right opportunity, the right strategy at the right time. And I think it's kind of a natural evolution from, you know, if I think back to when I started at GMO in 2006, if you wanted to access the Quality strategy, which we ran, we've been running a Quality strategy for 20 years now at GMO, but the minimum buy-in when I started was $10 million. And then the next step was we started coming up with more vehicles that were more user-friendly for the wealth channel. So getting on platforms, et cetera. But that still meant, you know, utilizing the mutual fund structure. So it wasn't the perfect fit for the taxable clientele. It was sort of the natural next step, right? And so we waited until there was, you know, critical mass around active ETFs, because that's certainly the route that we wanted to take. We very much are active investors. That's all that we do. And so now I think about, you know, looking back to when I started, when it was a $10 million buy-in, you can buy a share of the QLTY ETF today for $29 and change. So it's broadening that availability, I think, is the main reason we wanted to take that step.
So was Quality a mutual fund conversion, or are these all new assets?
So it's not exactly a mutual fund conversion. So as I mentioned, we've been managing a Quality strategy at GMO for 20 years. You know, to the extent people know anything about GMO, they tend to think of GMO as kind of a value shop. But I could argue that, you know, that Quality is every bit a part of our DNA as well. And when Jeremy Grantham was in the process of putting GMO together with his partners, he was sort of struggling with that idea that he could never own these Quality businesses as a classic value managers, because they always trade at a significant premium to the market. But he came up with some good identifiers, and initially GMO used that in our equity practices by practicing a form of Quality adjusted value. We launched this strategy 20 years ago and have kept that focus on valuation. I think that's an important differentiator, because there's plenty of different ways to get Quality into a portfolio today. But to get back to your original question, it's not a clone of the existing strategy. So the flagship Quality strategy, which is still, you know, a mutual fund and separately managed accounts, is a global opportunity set. So on average, we have, you know, 80% in companies domiciled in the U.S., about 20% outside of the U.S. We made the decision when we launched QLTY to make that a U.S.-only opportunity set. And the reason we did that was because we have heard a pretty steady drumbeat of demand over the years for a U.S.-only version of the strategy. And a lot of that demand was coming from the wealth channel. So we were kind of able to kill two birds with one stone with this launch.
Yeah, and this is a great time to be talking about quality, right? I mean, we've had such a push over the last handful of years into growth. We all know what happened last year. Growth just absolutely dominated, really any or every asset class. Yeah. So I think this is a great time to be talking about quality. So again, the ticker is QLTY. It's the GMO US Quality ETF. And we talked about it a little bit, but can you just really give a high level of what the fund is really trying to accomplish?
Yeah. So first and foremost, we're not going to own a company in this strategy if we don't believe it to be very, very high quality. I think we have a good handle on what that means. And one of the interesting things about the way we manage this portfolio, construct this portfolio, is you wouldn't describe this as purely a quantitative or purely a fundamental strategy. We try to bring the best of both of those sort of techniques as we manage this portfolio. So the first job is we just need to build the best quality universe that we can. We're going to start with a quant model as a screener, but then do a lot of fundamental work on top of that to sort of solve the problems that even the best quant models are going to have. They will occasionally kick out a false positive, sometimes a false negative. So we vet that process fundamentally. And then job two is to select stocks within that quality universe. And we're going to look at a bunch of things, but we're going to focus mostly on valuation as we do that process. And so what we seek to deliver is a portfolio that's comprised of the very highest quality companies, but screening out those companies that are trading at unrealistic valuations. Because I think, you know, even with quality companies, people will tell you that quality wins over time. But what our research shows you is you can do substantially better in terms of delivering returns across periods and can actually pretty significantly increase that downside protection, you know, return signature as well by combining quality and valuation. So ever since we started this with the flagship strategy 20 years ago, and it's very much true with QLTY today, it is that combination of quality and valuation that I think is the most significant differentiator in terms of what we do versus other quality practitioners.
Yeah. So when you're constructing the ETF and you go through your quant screen, you go through your fundamental screen, does the portfolio get fairly concentrated, or is there a number of holdings that you're targeting? You know, what can investors kind of expect as a holding profile?
Yeah. And so I would tell you that the way most of our investors utilize this strategy within their overall equity portfolio is as a core equity holding. What this portfolio gives you, we absolutely manage this portfolio in a benchmark agnostic fashion. In other words, we're happy to develop sector concentrations in those sectors where we find a lot of well-valued, high-quality companies. We're equally happy to have little or no weight in those sectors where we don't. And so I think that sort of means that it's an inherently less risky portfolio because you're going to be less exposed to those riskier parts of a benchmark. I think we've attracted a lot of attention over the last few years, and we've had a lot of early uptake with QLTY as well. I think, you know, active management has become a little bit more back in vogue as people sort of grapple with, you know, concentration risk in narrow markets, valuation risk in narrow markets. Quality is in a little bit brighter lights today as well, just because I think people are concerned generally with, you know, the overall risks that equity investors face today, and quality has shown to be a good defensive way to get equity exposure over time. And finally, I think, you know, it is our focus on valuation that means that we're not dependent on a growth regime being in place to be able to deliver strong performance or a value regime being in place. The last couple of years have shown that very nicely. You know, 2022, very much a value-driven year. 2023, very much a growth-driven year. And in the flagship strategy, we were able to deliver strong performance versus the S&P in both of those environments.
Yeah. So when you finish going through your screen and you're actually physically constructing the portfolio, right? What does we understand kind of what goes in it, but is there, do you concentrate, like, are you looking at 30 names, 50 names, 100 names?
Yeah.
Like, you know, what does the profile, holding profile look like?
Yeah. And so, you know, once we've gone through that sort of step one of the process, we've got a, you know, what we think of as kind of a vetted quality universe of round numbers, about 100 names.
Okay.
We do that valuation work. We're going to narrow that down a little bit further to, you know, 60 to 70 names or so. We're going to do some, you know, some risk adjusting on top of that around liquidity, diversification, sort of policy risks that we're underwriting throughout the portfolio. At the end of the day, it's a pretty concentrated portfolio. Round numbers, about 40 names. So it's not, you know, a 10 or 15 name purely fundamental portfolio, nor is it a, you know, 100 plus name purely quantitative portfolio. It kind of fits the profile of how we're building this portfolio.
Yeah, I love that. And then as far as weighting is concerned, when I went in and looked at everything's, you know, it's not equal. You're not equal weighting these 40 names. So is there a conviction? Are you, you know, how are you going about the weighting decisions? And then on top of that, you know, once you've come to those weighting decisions, I know the portfolio is active, but is there kind of a schedule in which you're revisiting those weighting decisions?
So two great questions. I'll try to tackle them in order. So we follow a pretty simple position sizing heuristic, and that's quality times value equals position size. And so we try to keep this simple. We try not to make our process overly complex. And so your maximum position size is determined by how high quality you are. And then we just use valuation as a dial to figure out where within that range of maximum position size that you end up. So if you're a top tier quality company and you're very attractively valued, you can be at time of purchase a 6% position. If you're mid tier quality, your maximum position size is 3%, and you can sort of follow that logic through. So as you observed, you know, looking at our top 10 weights, we only have one position north of 6% today. And overall our top 10 positions are on average around 40% of the overall portfolio weight. So again, it's decently concentrated, high conviction portfolio.
And then how often are you kind of revisiting that in terms of a daily look, weekly, monthly, you know?
So we don't follow a rigorous, you know, sort of systematic trading pattern with this portfolio. We tend to trade this portfolio when and if necessary. It is a low turnover portfolio on average. I think we're lucky that we have that advantage of operating within a quality opportunity set. And that's a pretty sticky group, right? It's hard to become a quality company. It's almost equally hard to unbecome a quality company. Usually the way you do that is you make some bad capital allocation decisions. And that's going to sort of kick us. That's the most likely way to get kicked out of our quality universe. But it's a pretty sticky group. So that name turnover is apt to be pretty light. So most of the turnover that we do deliver in any given year is just rebalancing around that valuation opportunity set. And that's driven by just what our bottom-up stock level analysis is showing us. And so that direction of travel over the last few years meant that, you know, as we sort of were skating through 20 and 21, we were seeing some of those, what had become very consensus-y, you know, quality growth tech champions, you know, the FANGs, FANGums, the precursors to the Magnificent Seven. Some of those companies were getting pretty fully valued. So we were trimming from that, you know, from those, that growthier end of quality, moving that more toward what we think of as core quality and quality value. And that set us up pretty well for how 2022 played out. You know, a lot of quality managers ended up being a little too overloaded with expensive growth within quality, and that hurt them in 2022. Then that direction of travel sort of shifted midway through 2022. We found some valuation opportunities opening back up within some of those same names we'd spent the prior couple of years trimming. We started to shift weight back in that direction, and that in turn set us up for what you've already described, that remarkable resurgence of growth that happened in 2023. And then I guess most recently, guess what? Some of those names have started to become expensive again, so we've been sort of dialing back down from growth over the course of the last 6 months or so. So it's a pretty simple process, but it's effective. And I think it is, you know, again, sort of speaks to, you know, why we are most often used as core equity exposure.
Yeah. So when just one kind of side question on that, when you're looking at quality, people tend to think only, you know, the massive mega cap names are going in. Is that generally the case in this portfolio? Or are you kind of finding some opportunities in some other subsectors of the market?
So you know, quality companies tend to be around for a long time. They're successful. They tend to grow. We don't think of size being a term in terms of determining whether or not you are high quality, but this company is, the vast majority of the companies in this portfolio are, fall squarely within the mega cap category. Now, that's not to say that you can't find some high quality targets down in, mid cap, even in small cap. We actually, GMO, my group actually launched about 18 months ago or so a small cap quality strategy. It is not at this point in time available in the ETF format. We still have just the one. I think, we do hope to build out that suite of active ETFs a little bit further when, when the time is right and when we feel like we have the right strategy. But it's a good question. Certainly it is an all cap opportunity set. But most of the really successful quality companies over time tend to be mega cap.
Yeah. So I talk to a lot of model portfolio firm that help advisors construct model portfolios. When you see that quality sleeve or that value sleeve, you tend to see kind of like a VTV or a qual in there, QUAL, right?
Yep.
So those are obviously their passive opportunities.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in active. So what benefits do you think quality, QLTY, kind of
right,
provides over your more traditional iShares qual?
Yeah. So, and I think that's a great comparison to make. And those are, I think those are good ways of getting passive exposure. But I think, to your point, you can make a pretty solid case for paying an active manager fee. And so we kind of start in the same place. Qual, QLTY, they start in the same place. We're running a quant screen. The factors that we're looking for look pretty similar to each other. But then that qual portfolio, what does it do next? It does some market cap, adjusting. There's your portfolio. What do we do on top of that? We spend a lot of time obsessing about whether or not our quant model is kicking out a few false positives or a few false negatives. So adjusting for that, that's step one. Step two, we're doing that valuation work, protecting you, giving you a little bit of a margin of safety around paying too much for any particular quality asset. Step three would be, or I guess difference three would be around portfolio construction. So qual, SPHQ, they're not willing to look that different from the benchmark. And so they're going to be constructed in a bench, in a sector neutral standpoint. So that means they're forced to own the highest quality real estate company, the highest quality materials company. We don't think that there are any, so we don't own those. And so, those can tend to be riskier areas of the market. Where that differentiation from a return pattern is most likely to show up is in those periods of intense volatility. When there are intense volatility tends to breed flights to quality. And that's when we tend to look most different in terms of, in a good way, from a return standpoint versus those portfolios.
So you'd mentioned a couple times, this is kind of a core equity position, but ideally, if you're sitting down with, an institution or an advisor, somebody who has a model portfolio, diversified model portfolio geared for their clients, how would you ideally put quality inside of that portfolio, and how would you help supplement maybe large cap equity with it?
Yeah. And so, I think, so a lot of people choose to use passive for accessing large cap equities, right? It's been hard to beat the S&P 500 over the course of the last, couple of decades. We've managed to, but it's tough. But I think people are beginning to realize, again, we touched on this subject a couple of moments ago, kind of the riskiness of those broad markets today around concentration, valuation, et cetera. And so a substitution for that passive way of getting broad market exposure. And so we've been able to pretty successfully make the case that this is a lower risk way of getting large cap exposure, core exposure, what have you. And that shows up in the numbers. If you compare our returns versus volatility on average over the 20 years that we've been managing a quality strategy, we've beaten the S&P 500 by a bit, but we've done so with, while exposing you to significantly less, risk. If you think of annualized vol as a pretty decent proxy for risk, we're a couple of points lower. So those risk adjusted returns, the flight path of those returns has been really attractive to a bunch of our investors.
Well, Kim, I really appreciate you taking some time with me today. Congratulations on the success of this product early. Like I said, it launched in 2023. You guys have started off with a bang, but you know, before I let you go, where can people learn more about GMO? Where can people learn more about the quality ETF?
Yeah. So if you go to, I think the easiest way to access information is just to go to gmo.com. And the landing page has a big banner talking about QLTY. We're excited about it here at GMO as well. But Brad, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thanks for spending the time with me today.
Yeah, Kim, again, thanks for joining us. And hopefully, see you soon. At one of the, before we were on, we were talking about conferences. So maybe I'll run into you at the next one.
Yeah, hope so.